Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Marina Gorbis is here, ladies and gentlemen. Marina is a new friend. She's Executive Director of the Institute for the Future, and she's the author of The Nature of the Future, Dispatches from the Social Structed World, and that's what she's here to talk to us about. Marina Gorbis, welcome to the show.
Great to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you here, Marina. The nature of the future. I don't know if you heard my monologue before you got here.
A little bit.
And I was just telling the audience that, you know, I try to help my small business owners to drop out of the management role that they have to function in, to make payroll, to sell things, to buy and sell and to manage, et cetera. They've got to manage their business. But for small business owners, it's tougher for them because they also have to be the CEO. And the CEO is the visioning job. That's the one, the strategy. That's the one where they have to look a little bit outside their four walls, out over the horizon, where the future is coming from. And so what I'd like for you to do is, as you talk to us about the nature of the future, about what you call the social structured world, help do it in such a way that helps them get into their CEO role and get more out of it. What do you think?
Great. And I think this is actually an ideal time for people to think as heads of organizations and leaders of organizations, whether you're an organization of 1 or 10 or 50, because what I talk about in the book is that we're going through a period of transformation where for a long time, probably for the last 50 years or maybe 100 years, we've lived in a world where everything, all the value was created through large institutions,
right.
People, whether it's corporations or it's large foundations,
right.
Or it's centralized governments.
The 20th century was the century of the big organization, wasn't it?
Exactly.
The paternalistic organization.
Yeah, it's a sort of the age of institutional production,
mm-hmm.
I call it. And there's
mm-hmm.
a good sort of economic basis for why it happened. But if you look at sort of the whole history of humanity, it wasn't that we always lived through large organizations. In fact, for most of our history,
mm-hmm.
we produced as individuals, as small groups,
that's
we traded
right.
with each other. But the problem was we couldn't achieve scale.
Critical
so
mass.
Think of, exactly, because once you scale up production, you need to be producing more. You need more people. You're managing more resources, more geographies. So you need layers and layers of management, and you have these huge costs of coordination. And it turns out that large organizations, institutions, are ideal for minimizing those transaction costs, and there's been economic
right.
papers written about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the nature of our technologies and the distributed technology infrastructure that we've built over the last 30 years is that it radically changes those economic costs. So now it's possible for an individual or a small group to create on a scale that previously took a large organization, or sometimes no organization could do.
Mm-hmm.
And I call it the age of amplified individuals,
mm-hmm.
which is the age in which people connected to each other and with the power of technology and connective technologies can do the kind of things that you could never dream of before.
Well, let's put an give an example. A couple of examples, Marina. One would be how so many small businesses are able to perform as if they were larger business because of the democratization of technology.
Exactly.
The diminishing of the price of those things. That's one. The other one is look at how we've changed the definition of journalist today.
Exactly. Now
and publisher.
Absolutely. And now it's happening. So it started in a few areas like media with blogging and others. Then we see Wikipedia where basically very few people. Now it's something like 100, maybe 150 people
mm-hmm.
produce this tremendous resource to to which millions of people are contributing. But we're beginning to see the manufacturing. So there are places like tech shops. I don't know if your listeners are familiar with, but tech shops are these basically shops where they have all the equipment for manufacturing, for 3D printing, and other kinds of things. And you can be a member and have access to all of those resources. So you don't need your own manufacturing plant. And what people are doing is you can be a member, you can have an idea for a product, you can go there, there's a community that will help you sort of prototype the product. And then some people, with this prototype, they go to Kickstarter, which is basically a platform for crowdfunding your ideas, and they can get funding, so they don't have to necessarily go to a bank. And some people have raised millions of dollars on Kickstarter, and now there are many other platforms. So you can have the funding to actually produce the product. You can produce it at the tech shop, or you can connect with a whole distributed manufacturing network, and then you can distribute your product. So it doesn't take a lot of people to do that. The resources are out there.
And this is the so what you just described is a potential for an individual to have an idea and to take it to fruition without having this huge infrastructure of assets and capital, which is on the critical mass scale is the other end of the spectrum from what Henry Ford and Bill Gates had to do.
Exactly, because now you can connect online to a lot of these resources. As previously, those resources, you could only get them if you had a plant and you have manufacturing facilities. Now you can connect to people who have those resources or to organizations like TechShop. And there are places like that. There's biology labs now that allow basically people to come in and do biology.
You can also see what other people are working on. So you either can determine whether you're doing something better or derivative, and maybe adjust the work you're doing to become a niche of a niche.
Absolutely, you can.
Whereas 100 years ago, or even 30 years ago, people in one end of a state wouldn't know what someone on the other end of the state was doing. They might have been overlapping each other.
Exactly. And one interesting thing about Kickstarter is that so you have to raise a certain amount of funding to get the actual money. And if you don't get the funding, you don't get the money.
Right.
But people who are not getting the funding, they're getting a lot of ideas from others. So they're improving on their ideas.
And I'll tell you something else. You may get to the point where you don't want that funding. Because there are strings that comes with that funding. The book is called The Nature of the Future. We're going to get more into the book with the author, Marina Gorbis, after these messages, 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I won't be in a Soho store where
policemen do my... Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.